In 2010, Guns N' Roses took us around the world. We opened for Axl and the Boys everywhere, starting from Canada at the top of the year to Norway, Finland, Denmark, Ireland, Serbia, Romania, Croatia, Czech Republic, and even two dates in Russia, the first time Guns N' Roses ever played in St. Petersburg and Moscow. It was a whirlwind. It was a blast. It was a great year. Since then, when people find out we toured extensively with Guns N' Roses, almost without fail, the inevitable questions get asked about Axl Rose. It's understandable. Over the years, Axl's reputation has ramped up to mythic heights, mainly due to him not giving interviews for over 20 years until very recently on VH1's That Metal Show and Jimmy Kimmel Live. But what I noticed is how people phrase their questions about Axl to us, assuming our time spent with the band was arduous and challenging. Hate to dispel the myths, but it was fucking awesome. Everyone in the camp, from the crew to the band to Axl himself, treated us great. It was the reason why we kept saying yes when they'd offer to take us to another country. I was able to hang out with Axl on a few occasions after the show, and he was always welcoming, very entertaining, regaling everyone present with story after story that would make your jaw drop. Hearing old GNR stories from the man himself? Pretty, pretty cool. And there's somewhat of a misconception that Axl goes through members within the entourage like water, be it in front of the curtain or behind the scenes. Safe to say, the lineup we toured with is still intact to this day, almost 4 years later. There are people in the Guns N' Roses camp, whether you know them or not, that have been with Axl since Use Your Illusion, that have been with Axl since Appetite for Destruction. Current members, like Tommy Stinson, have been in the band for 15 years. That should be enough proof and enough of a testament to offset all the rumors and stories about the man and about the band. Recently, Guns N' Roses did a scaled-down, intimate club tour with a stop in Toronto. JC and I went down to the show to say hi to the guys and found out that guitarist Richard Fortus, along with longstanding member Dizzy Reed, were going to be on the Uproar tour we were going to do across America, playing in a band from Australia called the Dead Daisies. Suddenly, we'd know not only Duff McKagan in the Walking Papers, but Dizzy and Richard too. Things were looking up. Of course, now I had to get them both on the podcast. If there's any more proof that needs to be shed on how well our time with the GNR camp went, look no further than this podcast. This episode is a wonderful mess and shows just how it was hanging with these guys throughout 2010. Richard Fortus is a monster guitar player. Incredible. Besides GNR, he's played in the Psychedelic Furs, Love Spit Love, Thin Lizzy, to a myriad of others, as you'll find out shortly. Keyboardist Dizzy Reed has been in Guns N' Roses for about 23 years, the consummate musician, and was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame last year in 2012 when GNR made it in. He's done soundtrack work, toured with Alice Cooper, and as you'll hear, about to release a solo album. I must make mention that Dizzy brings up Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top and how he's acting on a TV show now. The show wasn't clarified while we were taping, but it's a show called Bones on Fox. Just wanted everyone to know that because we didn't mention it, we didn't figure it out, and I didn't know until I looked it up. Once again, please keep those comments on iTunes and SoundCloud coming. Thanks a lot for listening and getting into the podcast. I also want to thank Blue Mic Microphones for their Yeti microphones and Skull Candy Headphones for their Aviator and Mixmaster Mic headphones. This one's a roller coaster because Dizzy Reed and Richard Fortus are at the back lounge of our bus on this episode of the official Danko Jones podcast, and it starts now.
Well, Thanks, Toddy.
The last time I drank Jameson, I don't remember anything, so here's to that. Oh, my Lord.
Delish.
Dizzy and whiskey don't mix, but hey, here we go.
Here we go. We have Dizzy, and we have Richard.
And whiskey.
And whiskey, and we're doing this podcast, and hey, it's nice to see you guys again. We toured the world in 2010.
Yes,
indeed. And now we're touring America together.
That's
right.
I think
that's really cool. I did not know you guys were going to be on here until a few weeks before.
Yeah, and we saw you in Canada, and next thing you know, you're following us around.
Yeah.
Yep. Anyhow, here we are in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And you know what? For all the kids out there that came to the show today, I think they probably had a pretty damn good experience seeing Danko Jones.
Thank you.
Then the Dead Daisies.
Yeah.
And then the Walking Papers, man. I mean, come on.
And then there's a bunch of other bands that are still, I don't even know,
big stage over there.
Yeah, with the dinosaurs.
I can say that. Because you're sitting next to one. No, I can't really call myself a dinosaur. I'm more of a fossil.
So, I don't know.
Dead Daisies, yeah. All right. So, Charlie Drayton called me up and said, hey, do you want to do this thing with me? And when Charlie Drayton calls you up and says, do you want to do this thing with me? You say, yeah. And then I went and did, and it was the Dead Daisies, and they were doing some stuff in Australia, opening for ZZ Top.
Yeah, you don't turn that down.
What's that?
You don't turn that gig down.
No.
So you were on those gigs with ZZ Top?
Yep, and ZZ Top was opening for GNR at the time.
So you were hopscotching.
I was hip-hopping, scotching from...
You're scotch hopping.
Exactly. From the... Okay, so... ZZ Top was opening for GNR in Australia. And then, you know, we take a lot of days off because we got stuff to do. So, on those days off, ZZ Top was playing their own shows.
Right.
And the Dead Daisies were opening for ZZ Top. So, because I wasn't doing a lot of stuff, I could go play with the Dead Daisies and ZZ Top.
So you only play with bands that have flowers in their name?
That's pretty much it. Did you hear the last ZZ Top record?
Yeah.
It's badass.
Yeah, last couple have been pretty bang on.
I don't know about the one before, but this one that Rick Rubin did, wow. Texicali?
Yeah. That's actually 3 years old now, isn't it? 2-3 years old? I could be wrong.
It seems just like yesterday. No, it's not that old.
You know,
I don't know. But I've heard like recent ZZ Top albums that are pretty bang on.
It's great.
They're not
it's
like
awesome.
But just for the heck of it, for anyone listening, go ahead and put on a song like Balinese from a long time ago, and listen to the drums and the bass and the guitar, and listen to how tight that is. And then, if you're a musician or if you work in a studio, if you know anything about that, realize that was before Pro Tools. That is live. That is a take.
Yeah,
that
totally.
That is tight as hell. And there was no band that's ever been like that.
Yeah. And funny how they embraced technology to the
and then they
ends
did.
They
almost replaced Frank Beard with the Macintosh.
Yeah. And then it all sort of went pear-shaped for a minute. But, you know, what a great band.
That stuff was really amazing.
So are you guys buds with like Billy Gibbons and
Dusty
Hill?
Yeah, he came up and played with us. But when I was on tour with Thin Lizzy, we supported ZZ Top too in Europe, and that was pretty cool. Because
my thing about ZZ Top is like this: in the dictionary, next to the word "cool," it says ZZ Top in my dictionary.
Yeah, it's my dictionary too. I think.
And it's just like not you know as a band, as cats. As people, as a vibe, as everything. Cool. ZZ Top. There it is.
So you can text Billy Gibbons right now?
No, I can't.
He'll text you.
But we do have the business card says friend of Eric Clapton.
Yes. I've heard of that business card.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's legendary.
Actually, someone showed that to me. I can't remember who it was, but yeah.
He gave me one.
That's pretty fucking cool. I have not
had
it.
Yeah, it is very cool. I can't say that.
I'm bad on Nationwide.
I love Chic. That's one of my favorite guitar solos, period.
Yeah.
because it's something I listen to and I'm like, I think I can try. I think I can do that. But then you try and you're a million miles away.
Yeah.
It sounds so simple. It's so awesome. But yeah.
You know, he plays sevens.
What does that mean? I don't even know what you're talking about, dude.
Yeah.
Guitar strings.
Huh?
Oh.
Yeah. He uses sevens.
Gauge sevens.
Oh, gauge. I thought you meant seven. He had a seven string guitar? Really?
No. Billy Gibbons does not use a furry seven string guitar.
Big gauges for people who don't know?
Little itty tiny bitty gauges.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like, you use what, 11s, 10s? You're big manly
10
strings.
10
to 52, all right.
Fuck yeah.
Hey, just for everyone listening, I use...
He uses sevens.
I use a huge gauge keyboard.
How do you even
find sevens?
My gauge keyboard is gigantic.
Yeah. Doesn't the seven kind of melt by the end of the set?
I don't know. Yeah, how
from the sweat it just melts.
I don't get it.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah,
and he didn't tech for Hendrix. That was Lemmy, but he had some sort of Hendrix connection.
Hendrix said it was his favorite guitar player.
Yeah, in Moving Sidewalks.
I thought it was Randy California, but I could be wrong.
He said the guitar player in Moving Sidewalks is his favorite guitar player. That's what Hendrix said. So he's got that forever.
Yeah, and I thought,
what more do you need? But then you go and do everything else after that.
I know.
He's in a TV show.
That's Mr. Belvedere, man. That's a totally different guy.
Okay, you guys look it up. Billy Gibbons plays a character on one of these shows.
Really?
I don't know if it's CSI
like Sons of
show
Anarchy
or something.
No,
one of those guys was here today.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes, he is in a band.
Or Breaking Bad, because we are in Albuquerque.
Yeah. Well, we are, aren't we? So,
on to music.
What's
obviously
going on with
Disney
you guys, Danko? Are you guys making another record?
Yeah, we're going to make one next year.
You're ready to make that jump, aren't you? You're ready to have some keyboards on your record?
Yeah, well, you threw
on, like,
it out
a song,
there.
Like Christine 16, you know, like
yeah,
Kiss did
Beth.
It. And
you would do that? You would play keys if we did a Christine 16
You're
cover?
You're his favorite band.
Well, hold on a second.
He fucking loves you.
How many times have I said that? Hey, anytime you need keyboards, let me know.
We're thinking of doing covers.
Really? We don't have to do a cover.
I love that
Let's
song.
Do an original. Write it for the folks, for the people, for the cats,
for the kids
who love rock and roll music.
All right, sure.
I think it'd well, be worth it. Or we could do some cover songs.
I was really jazzed about Christine 16, but
well, let's do that.
Yeah, I'd love to. That would be awesome. That's something to think about.
Really?
Are you
involved
in on this?
I'm in. Let's do it.
Fuck yeah.
Okay. What if I started? It's a monster.
Yeah, it's out of control.
That's the name of the record.
It's a monster.
No, wait, never mind. I'm
this podcast mind. Is officially out of control.
Okay, here's what's up. So Richard was talking about Dead Daisies, how he got involved. So maybe why don't you keep talking about
Yeah. Okay, I ended up bringing Marco in because we needed a bass player, Marco Mendoza, who I took from Thin Lizzy. And then,
who you met in Thin Lizzy.
He was also in Whitesnake and Ted Nugent.
Ted Nugent,
he played
man.
With fucking Nugent, man.
Hey, baby!
Does he get the whole Mark Mendoza thing a lot?
I don't know.
Yeah, no, he calls Mark Mendoza Uncle Mark.
Yeah?
Yes.
So it's all good, right?
Yeah, oh yeah. From Twisted Sister, you mean?
Yeah, from Twisted Sister, who plays bass as well.
Yep.
I mean, what are the chances?
Not as well as Marco.
He's
pretty kick-ass, though.
Yeah,
and one of the coolest cats in showbiz, Mark Mendoza, as well.
Mark Mendoza from Twisted Sister.
Yes.
And Marco Mendoza from...
Is one of my friends, man.
Yeah. And so if your name is Mark Mendoza, chances are you're a cool guy.
And you play bass.
Yeah, and you
really
will
good.
Be playing bass.
Yeah.
Even if you're like 4 years old right now. You will be tested.
You have no choice, then, actually. Yeah. Forget about
Marcus
it.
Mendoza? Sorry, man. You're a bass player.
Yeah.
The singer of Dead Daisies. He's
John Stevens.
John Stevens.
He's got quite a history that a lot of people don't know.
No, because a lot of people aren't Australian.
Yeah.
But...
Because JC did some research on him. And now he's
really?
Yeah.
Oh, and what did JC turn up?
That he sang
here
in
over
excess
at Danko Jones headquarters.
And he's a rugby player, a rugby star.
Really? I didn't know that.
Olympics.
I didn't know that either, but he's from New Zealand. That would make sense.
Olympic
Fill
song
us in.
Or some
Olympic swimmer?
He wrote the Olympic song or some shit like that.
For the country of New Zealand?
Oh, is he from New Zealand?
He's actually
in fact,
yeah,
he is.
He's a Maori.
Oh, I heard him. I heard JC saying something like that.
I'm part Maori as well.
Are you really?
Yeah, from here to here. It's Maori.
It is. But for those who can't see, he's pointing at his tattoos from his wrist to his shoulder.
That I did on the Rihanna tour in Australia.
You played with Rihanna?
Who has he not played with?
I didn't know that.
You want to?
I knew he played with Psychedelic first, but I didn't
just
know
to cut down, let's talk about who you haven't played with.
Danko Jones. I've never played with Danko Jones.
There you go.
I've shared a stage with Danko Jones.
Yeah, but we'll figure that out.
Yeah, but
we're doing that reverse covers robot. Right.
Fortis's resume is like, I don't know,
Brian Tichy's, but not as
Billy Idol-ish.
Yeah.
Have you played with Billy Idol?
I have played with Billy Idol.
Okay. Of course you did.
I did. I wrote with Billy Idol. Of course.
You wrote with Billy Idol?
Yeah, yeah. I never told you a story. I got a phone call. Okay.
Oh, yes.
I told you.
Yes, I have heard.
So I have played with Billy Idol. So I get a phone call. And I knew that like my manager had set this thing up, right? Well, yeah, Billy Idol wants to write and he's doing this record. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I get a phone call one day before cell phones. Calls me at my apartment. Is Richard there? I'm like, yeah, this is Richard. It's Billy Idol! I'm like, yeah, right. Thanks.
Yeah, right, Steve.
And he goes, yeah, exactly. He was like, yeah, right. Yeah, sure it is. Who is this? No, it is. It's Billy Idol. I'm like, oh, Billy. But he sounded like a game show host.
Yeah,
it was
right.
Really funny.
How was it working
it's
with
Billy
him?
Idol. It was very confusing. At that point, he didn't really know what he wanted to do. But
was this during like the 2005 kind of comeback
it
thing?
It was, exactly. Yeah, right. It was actually, he wasn't doing anything. He didn't do anything for a little bit after. But it was around that time.
We played with him.
2004, 2005.
Time.
Like, he didn't have Steve with him and.
I don't think he did. I cannot remember.
Yeah.
Although I would have remembered something like that.
But no, I didn't tour with him though.
But you did write with him.
Yeah, we were writing.
How many songs did you write? Did he record it?
No, he never released it. He never released anything from that time. He was not sure what he wanted to do. You know, he was sort of looking for where to go next, and he was. But he did give me some great words of advice. He said, if you're looking for a prostitute, don't go to the back of those magazines. Just
did he really say that to
yes,
you?
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, thanks.
Thanks. Thanks, William. Okay. So, I mean, I would think, like, Billy Idol, easy to figure it out. Just do what
that's
you're
what
fucking
I thought.
Doing.
I was like, Generation X, let's go. Yeah. Here we go.
And what did he say about that?
He was like, well, you know, I think I want to do something more like, you know, I could do like Cyberbilly.
But he did that.
Yeah,
he did
exactly,
that in the early
exactly.
90s.
And it didn't go so well for him, did
and
it?
He spiked his hair. Like, he had dreads kind
of.
I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was still on that in 2005?
He was like, he didn't know what to do. It was really,
So what's he doing now? Still trying to figure it out?
No, now he's doing the, you know,
American Idol?
Golden Oldies.
Oh, that?
No,
oh.
He's doing, you know, he's being Billy Idol.
Right. Well, that's a good circuit if you can.
If you're Billy Idol.
Yeah, if you can get it.
Yeah. I mean, and Steve's playing with him again and,
Okay.
And Brian Tichy.
Right.
Billy Morrison.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. I mean,
God bless him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's cool. And how's Guns N' Roses doing? Like, what's the update on that? I have to ask. I'm sure people
We're trying to write. It's a very laborious process with GNR trying to write a record.
Well, I mean, Chinese Democracy took X amount of years to
come out. It's not going to take that long.
Right.
I hope not, because I won't make it. But
well, when we were on tour, at least in the beginning of the Canadian tour in 2010, I remember you guys were all jamming together. Everybody was kind of writing. I don't know. Maybe it was because it was like
we're still working on ideas and playing around with different things and trying to record now and finish this record, because we have bits and pieces for going back from before I was in the band. So like,
wow.
Yeah, I've been in it for what, 12 years?
Yeah. So, like, how is the dynamic? Because GNR is the way it is set up now isn't exactly your regular rock and roll band. Like, there's three lead guitar players. So how do you guys like figure out all that stuff?
Are you talking about Iron Maiden? Oh, Jesus.
We're talking about Lynyrd Skynyrd. No, but how do you guys figure out how to write songs with that configuration? Is there too many cooks in the kitchen at times?
You know, there's a lot of cooks, yeah.
Can I speak on that?
Yes, Dizzy, please.
Since I just walked in, back in, thank you.
You're in.
It's good
you're
back in.
You're
back.
In.
It's good to have you
very
back.
Very appropriate. You're in.
I think it's one of the most amazing things, and it's so pleasurable to be around, to see these guys actually work things out between themselves.
You know, when I wake up in the morning,
you know, it's a lot of hard work, but at the end of the day, it works out, man. And it's like to have, and if you're talking about Guns N' Roses, three of the best guitar players in the world, I think, personally. That's just my opinion, Richard.
Well, okay. Three of the cutest, yeah.
And to be able to set their shit aside and work that out, it's a great thing for the fans, and you know, for me as a fan, just to watch that. And that last thing was bullshit, but I'm not a fan. But for the fans, it works out really cool, man. It really does. And you guys really do work your asses off to work that shit out. It's not easy. It's not an easy thing, man. Because, you know, everyone can play everything. And so we do spend a lot of time
on
that.
That's what I mean. Is
we
like,
spend a lot of time on that.
Yeah.
Because who's going to play what and who's going to play it right? Because you don't know. Everyone can play everything.
So
who's right about playing what?
Right. The hard part is figuring who's not going to play.
Right. Right. It's. I mean, I just look at the configuration
that's
of how the band
is. That's where mute buttons come in handy.
Well, no, that's what makes this band actually roll. It's because we can work that out. And now there's a time when, you know, if you have guitar players from, if you just brought them in at their peak and tried to make it work out as a super group or whatnot,
yeah,
there's no way it would have worked. You can't. Think about it. Well, it's killed a lot of bands in the past.
And does Axl come in, like, take a song, just one song you guys have worked out?
No, Axl orchestrates. He definitely knows.
We work a lot of stuff out on our own. But yes, if he has a strong opinion about a certain part, about a certain song, he'll let it be known. And pray God that makes it easier.
Yes, it's true. For because us. Because he's very musical, and he's very totally gets it. Like, he's like, no, I want to hear this. I want to hear you play this. And, like, cool. Like,
well, I remember the first time he said he wanted you to play the second half of the lead on November Rain. That didn't go down. That went down like a Led Zeppelin. But you do it, and you do it great.
And one of my best friends was hating me for a week, but, you know.
What for why?
Oh, like, the other, Robin Fink. I mean, just say it, whatever.
Oh, I see. Okay.
He was a guitar player at the
time.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, that goes back to the very first time I auditioned for the band, and he's like, Axl was like, take the second half of, you take the outro solo for Paradise.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, let's talk about that. That's something people need to know.
What's up?
When you audition for the band.
Oh, please.
What do you mean?
So, Richard comes down, and we kind of knew
wait a second. I got to set this up, because I flew in. I was on tour with Enrique Iglesias.
See what I'm saying about his flipping resume, dude? You got everything here. Name all the genres of music. He's played with the top of all of them.
So wait, check it out.
It's disgusting.
So I finished our last night at Royal Albert Hall. I had a car waiting. I got in the car, went to the airport, flew to LA, went straight to the audition.
Yeah.
Did the audition, and then...
Well, here's the audition, okay? So, it's like, we'd audition about 15 guitar players, and Axl, we kind of knew Richard was probably going to be the guy, and Axl comes down for that audition, and, you know, everything else is like, you know...
I think I was the only guitar audition that Axl's ever shown up for.
So who's...
I think I hold that on.
So who figures, who makes the cuts? Is it you, Dizzy, or is it the other...
If it was me, there would be no guitar players. I don't make the custard jack nothing, dude.
Who
come on.
Who does? Like, is it Dell or is it... Who?
No. And good thing you mentioned Dell. But no, it at the end of the day, it's up to the man. It really is.
Yeah, I understand.
It is. So he kind of heard the vibe and the buzz about Richard. So he comes down, and Alex and I are sitting, we're talking about something, man. I don't remember what it was, but Richard plugged in his guitar and started playing the intro to Stray Cat Blues off of Beggar's Banquet. And we thought someone put the record on. And we stopped talking. We're looking around going, what the hell is that? What is that? What is that? And we looked over, and it was Richard playing the intro to Stray Cat Blues. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do.
But I was just I was getting a sound on my
head. That was pretty much it at that point.
Yeah, Axel, I remember
that filled that position.
Axel goes, whoa, 2 points scored before the game even begins.
Really? Wow.
Big points for playing Stray Cat Blues. But I was just...
Which then Richard and I on the side eventually later on ended up working up that song and playing it all the time, man. And we should do that with you one day.
Yes, I think that's a Danko Jones.
Because I can sing the shit out of that fucking song, man. Even though it's kind of twisted and lyrically.
Oh, you're going to take the mic? Did you say...
Oh, Dizzy's not scared.
What?
Are we doing a duet?
Do you have a problem with that?
I forgot about that.
What am I going to play?
He doesn't know.
So, wait a minute. Richard's on guitar. What the hell am I going to do?
You're going to play guitar.
Relegated to singing.
But you can play
guitar. I can play Danko the shit out of her power chord.
Danko hasn't heard my songs.
No.
Dizzy no. Fucking kills.
No, I haven't. I haven't heard the album.
I try my best, man.
No, he kills.
But
Dizzy Reed experience.
We're gonna play you some songs.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's what we're gonna do.
And then we're gonna play you some new Dead Daisies. That's gonna blow.
And then we're gonna play some Dead Daisies.
Melt your skull.
I wanna hear it.
And but
the new stuff.
You know what?
The shit that you did on the plane.
I tried to do it all. Yeah. And I'm telling you, like, I don't want to... I'm there for you guys. Anytime you want some keyboards and any Danko Jones stuff, I want to be that guy. I played keyboards for Motorhead. I want to play keyboards for Danko Jones.
All right.
Me too. I played guitar for Enrique Iglesias.
And Rihanna.
And I can play guitar for you too.
Keep going, man. Come on.
Okay, so where the fuck were we?
NSYNC, Britney Spears, you name it. I've rocked with them all.
Shut up.
Shut up, I have. Yes.
You played with NSYNC?
Dude, Dirty Pop. That's me. Guitar,
bass. I
don't
even know what you're talking about. Dirty, is that an NSYNC?
It was a big hit.
You become a session person at some point.
It was a number one. I'm just saying.
You really like NSYNC?
No, but I mean, that's...
Who doesn't? Come on. Deep down.
Look, he's trying to admit it.
I know
he's about
voice,
to admit.
But I mean, I can't. I mean, Rihanna, like, I mean, please introduce me
sure.
next time she's
yeah,
in the room.
Yeah. No.
Ella, Umbrella, Ella.
I played all that
I'm
shit.
I'm so out of it. That song was going on once. I'm like, what is this? I keep hearing this everywhere I go. And they're like,
everywhere.
Rihanna.
Everywhere. My wife told me, she's like, that's Rihanna. You know, and yeah. So
I don't know.
But tell me every time you don't pick up an umbrella, you don't say that.
I seriously, I don't even know what she was saying. I just know the melody of
it. Yeah.
I don't even know what she's saying.
She was saying Umbrella, Ella, Ella, Ella.
She did these, like, underwear ads.
Really?
And they're posted.
Really?
Yeah. They're posted on, like, the big
that must have been
in
Canada.
Toronto.
You know,
yeah, and I was like,
I'll tell you what.
Who is this?
You know, she used to, every night, she would come out. She'd do her own makeup, and she would come out. And I toured with her on that tour on the you know, it was her and Chris Brown.
Right.
Yeah.
Who? That tour.
Yeah, exactly. It was not pretty. But, no, right. It was cool. She was awesome. I played with both of them. And she would come out for the show, and every night I was just like, oh, my God, you're so beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, she's just absolutely stunning.
Okay, so wait a minute. We were on something here. Auditioning for GNR.
Yeah. So
Stray Cat Blues, man.
Yeah, you whip out
And it was just, he nailed it. And then, you know what? It just became really apparent that he was actually the perfect guy for the gig. And you know what? You're stuck, dude.
I'm stuck.
Well, it's been 12 years,
I
mean, right?
No, I you know what? I love playing.
He holds down the fort, man.
Playing,
he really does.
Like, okay, first of all, Frank I've been playing with forever.
Right. Well, you
okay?
brought Frank in.
Okay, so Frank is like, you know, my wife of 20 years. Dizzy and Tommy are like my closest friends. They're fucking brothers, you know. So like, I mean,
by the way, Tommy's the one who brought Richard in.
Yeah.
Tommy Stinson.
Oh, no, actually, you know what? I got a call before I knew Tommy.
Oh, I didn't know this.
I got a call to audition.
Tommy brought me to see him. You were playing with BT.
BT, yeah.
Down at the Orpheum.
It's electronic music.
And he was playing a cello, for Christ's sake. And I'm going, what? That guy?
I'll play anything. Really?
Oh yeah, come on, tell him guitar's like your second or third instrument.
So
holy fuck.
No, but check it out. So Tommy, I got a call in I guess it must have been like 2000 asking me if I would come and audition for Guns N' Roses, and I was like, yeah, sure.
2001 or something.
No, it was 2000. I said, yeah, sure, I'd love to. And they said, well, you know, I said, I'm going to be out in L.A. in a couple of weeks to do a session to this record. Right. And then, oh, perfect, we can do that
with
at
who,
the same
Madonna?
Time.
No, I'm just joking.
It was, okay. I don't know. Anyways, I ended up, I was going to go audition for GNR and do this session, right? So I talked to them a couple of times, then I didn't hear back, and I'm like, well, this is strange. Well, I went out to do the session anyways, and I get to the studio, and Josh Fries and Tommy Stinson are on the session to do this record, and I was like, oh, this is so weird, because yeah. I was supposed to come audition for you guys, because both of them were in GNR at the time. And I said, I was supposed to come audition for you guys. I said, oh yeah, you're the dude. Oh yeah, well, Axel found this guy Buckethead, so we stopped auditioning. You didn't know this story, did he?
No.
Yes. So I was actually called about that slot. Right. The
Buckethead slot.
Yeah.
Well, you weren't meant for that slot, so no. Never mind.
Anyway, so
we're talking about slots.
Yeah. So anyway, Tommy and I ended up, you know, becoming best buddies that night.
Yeah.
And then next time, 2 years later, year and a half later, when they needed a guitar player, he was like, "No, I got the guy." So
yeah, Tommy brought me down to see Richard play at the the Orpheum or.
To play cello. Will Turner.
Or the Mayan.
The Mayan. That's what it was with BT. And I'm like, this guy, I walk in, he's playing a cello. I'm like going.
Electric six string cello.
I'm like, way to go, Tommy. And then he picked up a guitar and went, okay, now I get it.
Right.
And yeah, obviously, you know. So I'm always a smart ass, but it whatever. I mean, yeah. He was nice. He was cool. We talked. We hit it off, and then he came down to the audition, and like we said, you know, that was all history, man. And now he's in the band.
You know what I love about Guns N' Roses? I get to be on a bus with Tommy Stinson and Dizzy Reed, and that's like the greatest thing ever. Like, we have the best times. We're like the Three Musketeers.
Well, I mean, when we were on tour with you guys, the vibe was definitely like, it was very fun, and I didn't feel like a lot of people when they've heard that we've toured with you guys and we've played with you guys,
come on, give us the scoop.
Everybody's trying to get some sort of dirt.
I
just couldn't find anything. There was nothing.
That's because there's not much there. But you know what? We're not gonna destroy that myth.
I mean,
there's a lot.
There was a lot of crazy shit going on.
There's a lot.
And I was
of
like,
stuff, you know, like,
we're,
fuck
we're also,
this.
We're,
yeah,
we're
tables
also,
flying.
We're professionals, man. That's why we're not going to destroy that myth.
Yeah, that's right.
But I mean,
Axl Rose is a monster.
Yeah, you
know, we're not going to destroy that myth.
That's where it all starts. But I mean, my times with Axl. I mean, he's very intimidating for someone like me who's just kind of opening for you guys. And it was fucking intimidating as shit, but
it's a tough audience to
you guys, like,
it's a
you
tough
nailed
slot,
it. You guys nailed it every night.
No, I mean meeting Axl. Like meeting
really?
Him. Yeah, it was pretty intimidating.
See, you know,
you guys don't
when
see
I,
that.
When
obviously.
I came into audition, I was never a I was a punk rock kid, man. I wasn't about Guns N' Roses.
You're
so like
fuck
I was
this
like
this guy, this
I like, was like fucking Tommy Stinson.
Oh, I see. Right. Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So honestly,
so,
I mean,
yeah, that's where it's at. Tommy's the intimidating person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on.
I'm not saying he isn't either. But yeah, for
hey,
sure.
Give me some credit. No, nothing.
Not.
Like,
oh, actually, you know what?
Hey,
when
Dizzy,
I joined,
how's it going, man?
No. When I joined the band, Dizzy was the heart. Like, he was the dude. I'm like, I remember going to Tommy and going, man, I don't think Dizzy likes me very much. He's like, no, Dizzy's. you know, Dizzy's just seen a lot of guitar players come and go.
Yeah.
Right.
Some I liked, some I didn't.
I mean, I remember that was the first time I met you that night when Scotty Slam.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. He took us to see you guys.
Okay.
You guys did a whole bunch of covers that night. I don't know where the fuck he took us.
It was some Hookers and Blow. Maybe it was a Starfuckers?
No, it wasn't Starfuckers.
It happened to Harry and the...
It was this dude who had like this... Like, it's not like I was staring at his package, but his fucking package was humongous. I could see the outline. I'm like, dude, are you even wearing underwear?
It was a cucumber. Yeah, and you know what?
Dude,
no,
you know who I'm talking about.
It must have been. No, it was not happening.
I thought I was the only one. And then we left you guys.
Was that Howl the Moon?
It's upstairs. You had to take an escalator.
Howl the Moon at Universal Studios.
Yes, Universal Studios.
And that guy, yeah. Dude. I don't even want to name his name.
No, because, we don't have to. But
the cucumber doesn't.
All know you're wearing a cucumber, Chaz.
Was it a really?
Whatever. Yes.
Because we all left, and then
and
I didn't want to say it, and then someone else in the entourage, like in our group, just like, goes,
"Holy shit!"
So, I was hanging out practically.
That sucks. That's the only you take because that was a dueling piano bar. I played I was working there. I was playing there
It was great.
Wednesday and doing that. That's the first time you saw me play?
Yeah. That was when I met you. That was the first time I met you.
Okay.
And that was like
probably didn't even know who the hell you were.
Yeah, I know.
You're like, now he's like your biggest fan.
But it was like when
I saw you guys open for GNR, I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm like, thanks, man.
Dell hit this all to you.
Yeah.
So Dell James is to blame.
No, but then you gave me your whole library, and I put it in my thing, and I was like,
too.
Yeah, I gave you guys.
I hope you read the
and you are still in my iPod playlist.
You are in mine too.
Oh, fuck yeah!
Thanks, guys.
Because it was just you guys turned me. You turned everything around for me at a certain point in my life where I needed that to be turned around, and I was like, rock and roll still lives. And I felt like picking up a goddamn guitar again, right? Because, you know, yeah, I'm a keyboard player, blah, 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 blah. But Richard will tell you, it's like I write songs on the guitar I've been in guitar bands my whole damn life.
Right.
So I'm like, I picked up a guitar again for the first time in a long time, and I started writing songs again, man, because Danko Jones, man.
Thank you. I mean that
every fucking...
Thanks, dude.
You guys really turned it around for me, and was like, it was cool. And I'm going to say this, too, man. Your live show, I'm putting this out there, man. You wear the crown for banter
between song banter.
You wear the crown.
Firmly goes
too. I
dare anyone to take that crown off Danko Jones, man, because you wear the flipping crown, dude. I thought I was good.
No.
You're the king.
Absolutely.
And I bow down to you for the banter, dude.
All hail.
I play especially on this tour.
But it works with your music. It doesn't take away from your music. People don't come to see you with the banter, but they walk away knowing that you have something to say.
Yeah.
And they feel good about themselves.
You're getting better.
Well, I play to the back of the room. I play to you guys. Like, there's a crowd in front of us. But knowing that, like, for example, the first day Frank was on the tour, he came around and he watched the set. And we're all that way.
Come on, we're all that way. Let's not bullshit. Yeah. Come on. I see Jerry Cantrell sitting on the center stage. Yeah, it raises my head.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I see you watching. And I was like, yeah, okay. You know, I got.
Of course.
I try to like crack you guys up. I try.
You know,
without alienating everybody in front of us, I try to keep that going.
Well.
You know what?
That's awesome.
Either one of you motherfuckers could wear a guitar and it would look cool. Whatever. That's cool.
Thanks.
I could put it on and it would look like a dork.
No, that's not true.
You should see a guitar.
I'm not a guitar player.
You should see a guitar on my man.
You don't have to be like that.
No, he can get his Jan Hammer on like...
You play a guitar?
Oh, he could I've never worn a guitar in my entire life. But if he did and he wore a cape, he'd be... You know,
Captain Keitar.
Like, yeah, man, Jeffrey would have nothing on this man.
You know, I try to come at an
Jeffrey?
Angle.
is that bad? I've been trying to talk Dizzy into wearing a cape for years.
Yes, he has.
all great keyboard players.
But you kind of have something going on stage when it's GNR.
No,
you have a big kind of. What do you have? There's some
frock.
Sort of.
It's a frock.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a frock.
It's.
I have no frock. I have no cape. What are you guys talking about?
No, but you have some sort of like. It's not a cape. It's not a.
It's called a jacket.
Is that what it is?
A jacket.
Yeah. A big jacket. Yeah,
it's not a big jacket.
It's not a big jacket. It's a jacket.
It's like
I'm not that big jacket. Yet. I'm gaining some weight. Yeah, but
no, it's I not don't that mean big. It like that.
But if you wore a cape,
it's not a jacket. Bad.
What, like an Elton John type?
Okay, you know thank you. That's one.
I'm gonna get a cape just so I can like
Elton
just
John.
I can pounce on Richard with the cape and just fucking take him.
Let's think about who else wore capes. Rick Wakeman,
Batman,
Superman. Rick Wakeman,
FDR,
John Lord,
Winston Churchill,
shiny shirts,
David Crosby. No,
that was about doing blow.
Well, no, he wore a cape.
I think
too,
you can pull off the cape.
That was sort of a poncho.
And then you can take off the cape.
Exactly.
Oh, there's a
Keith Emerson, cape.
George's.
Yes, he did. He wore a cape.
He did
wear a cape. Did Keith Emerson wear a cape?
Yes.
Exactly.
Okay. George Costanza's dad's friend, who was actually Larry David's character in Seinfeld at one time, wore a cape.
Exactly. And he played the shit out of a keyboard.
Are you saying that's why you shouldn't wear a cape?
No, that's why you should. No, look. Okay. Who
you
else?
Wear a cape first. You wear a cape, then go, I'll wear a cape.
Honestly, he doesn't play keyboards.
I wanted to.
No.
We'll do it on Halloween.
You can't wear a cape. What guitar player, except for Johnny Winter, has worn a cape?
Capes are good.
Hey, man. You know what?
Get
do what you
got to
do. Keep it fresh.
You could make it work.
Capes are fresh again.
Keep it fresh.
Fresh equals cape.
I just don't want to be
with Richard.
I think Jan Hammer wore a cape. I'm not sure. Chick Corea maybe.
Jan Hammer never wore a
now
cape.
Now you're making shit up.
Okay, maybe a little bit, but rock and roll capes are inherent with keyboard players. I'm just saying.
Thank you, Richard.
Dizzy, I'm trying to help you, man. Come on.
I don't need help, brother.
He doesn't need my help. But,
well, sometimes
you could rock a cape. Could you rock a cape?
I can't wear it. I'm not Johnny Winter.
I gotta go get a cape, guys. Thanks. This has been fun.
You're getting all upset. This is
no. I gotta go get
this
a cape. We're in Albuquerque. What a better place to get a cape than
you can get a poncho here. You can get a cape. You can cut the front of it off.
Sombrero.
Yeah.
I guess we're going to end on capes.
Collins.
No, we're not going to end.
Can people call in and vote?
Here's what we're going to
do. Can you text?
Let's end on this.
Text 1-800-DANKO. And yeah. Like, and
cape.
Then,
yeah. Hashtag cape.
Yeah, and then people can vote whether or not Dizzy should ever wear a cape, because I think it's a great
Please
idea.
Let me know. You can sit down with Danko, and you can talk and rock and roll on any level from any period of time for hours and hours and hours, and he'll just come back at you with everything, man, because he knows everything. He studies it. It's his life.
Who's
just
this?
Like it's my life. It's always been my life.
Okay, thank you.
That's what you do, man.
Thanks.
That's what we do. And Richard,
you do it too. And
then Richard will be there,
well,
and he'll tell you.
With Enrique,
Richard will correct you.
I will correct you.
And tell you what it's really all about.
That's right. No. No, Chris Holmes was not in that band. For
Chris Holmes?
Chris Holmes?
The one person you don't know anything about.
Where did that come from?
No, you do know a lot about him, because I've told you a lot
That's
about
right.
Chris
Dizzy's
Holmes. Chris Holmes is a good friend of mine.
From Wasp?
Yes.
Wow.
Actually, all the guys in
Metal Years?
Except for Black.
No,
yeah, really.
Not that guy.
Yes.
No, I know that guy, but he's
Chris
not
Holmes
like that
is a sweetheart.
Yeah.
Chris
oh, yes,
Holmes,
he is. No, he's
I did a show one time. When I first moved to L.A., Chris Holmes would be hanging out in the clubs in Blackie and stuff, and they were very intimidating. If you were hitting on a chick and they had eyes on there, you would just go, I'm leaving, right? But so years later, and I talked to Chris over the years, over time, and we became friends, you know? And I think maybe he got sober or something, but he changed and he became this sort of gentle giant. And I love Chris to death, and he still plays the shit out of that same guitar.
Because he always had the best.
But I got to tell you the story, man.
Please.
So we're backstage at the Knitting Factory, and I was doing a thing called the Big Ball Stars, which is like a big all-star jam with a whole bunch of different people.
I didn't do that with you.
You weren't there.
But I did play Knitting Factory with you.
Yes, you did. We're backstage at the Knitting Factory, and I had this keyboard stand that I use. I still use it because it's the perfect height. But it was missing like the feet on the bottom of it. There was one of them left,
right.
And I just got used to it. I didn't think about it. And he saw that. And was just sitting backstage after the show. And there was another band that had a keyboard player, had this keyboard stand over on the other side of the hallway. And he looked at my keyboard stand, missing 3 feet, and went over to the other guy's keyboard stand and pulled the three, and the guy wasn't going to say nothing to Chris Holmes.
Is he like 7 feet tall?
Yeah.
He looks at.
Even in his nicest state, you don't want him, if you don't know him, you're not going to mess with him.
Yeah.
Pulls the three rubber feet off and comes up and hands them to me. He goes, your keyboard stand is missing the feet, these things. Yeah. I'm like, oh, dude, thank you. That's who he really is on the inside, man. And he's just, I don't know. After that, we became really good friends.
Dizzy Reed giving you the inside scoop.
On Chris Holmes.
On Chris Holmes. Who was also an amazing bowler, by the way. I would be scared to be the pins.
Way to demystify him.
If he had the ball, and his, forget about it, man. He just crushes them. They blow up. It's amazing.
He's like, who's that?
Let's go. Do you bowl, Danko?
I don't bowl.
You're going to bowl.
Tour because of the fingers.
Oh, right.
You know what I'm talking about.
Your fingers. You can use your mind.
What are you talking about? You don't bowl.
I don't.
Oh, is that why you don't bowl?
No, that's not why I don't
bowl. Well, because you put. I am.
It's good for your fingers.
Yeah, I use these fingers all the time. My fingers are made of steel.
No way, man.
I play piano, dude. I use all my fingers.
I thought I could, like. Yeah, you're right. You kind of got me beat. Because
it's
could just,
fun.
Like, I could just make a fist and play guitar the way exactly. I play. Oh. Not you though, Richard. You're fucked if you shouldn't bowl.
I don't.
Both you guys should not. Both you guys shouldn't be bowling.
Okay, never mind about bowling. Chris Holmes bowls great. I bowl great.
All right, if you and Chris Holmes want me to go bowling with you guys, I'm fucking going bowling.
It's scheduled, and Richard Fortas.
Yeah, I'll play. I'm not scared.
We'll tape it. We'll start a reality show.
I'll fucking bowl with you and Chris Holmes. Richard's not going to come.
I'll come.
You're right. He's not.
He's not
I'm
coming.
I'm not scared
he's
of Chris bullshit. Holmes.
You shouldn't be.
No, I'm fucking. Not. I'm for the record. I am totally scared of Chris Holmes.
It's wicked. You know, Chris Holmes is great. I love him. He's one of my good friends.
And he scares the shit out of me. So that's great. And I want to always make him happy. Because he's scary. And I love Wasp's first two albums. I don't care what anybody says. Although I don't think they're saying anything.
Let's do some more stuff. And you play guitar and sing, and I'll play keyboards and sing.
Yeah, I'm into
it. And then we'll do a thing. And we'll have a thing.
I'm all in.
And then it'll be a thing.
I'm all in for this thing.
It'll be called Danko Fortyreed or something. I don't know. That was a bad idea. But if you guys can think of something better, go ahead. Why is the bus shaking? Is there earthquake?
Co-art. People are just opening and closing the door.
How about...
Co-art it.
How about the Jones... How about the Jones Reed Fortis experience? Yo.
Yo.
With the yo?
Jones
with
Reed...
yo. Why not? Nobody
well,
said
no.
Yo.
Jones Reed Yikes. Fortis. That's not Jones Reed Fortis.
Yo.
Jones Reed Fortis.
Yo.
That rolls off the tongue. I didn't say yo. Oh, okay. I'm saying Jones Reed Fortis.
Jones Reed Fortis sounds good.
And notice it's I put Jones first. And Reed second.
Oh, thanks. Fortis I didn't notice last. That. Thank you.
Sorry.
Fortis last.
Jones Reed Fortis.
Why was I last?
Because it works.
Okay, sorry.
Jones Reed
it
Fortis.
It does. It does, actually.
All right.
Okay. Because you have two syllables in your name. So it's a nice ending.
So that's yes. it. I get the ass end because I've got two syllables.
Yeah, Fortis Reed Jones works too. Actually.
Jones Reed Fortis
too. Yeah,
that works too.
Jones Reed Fortis.
I like Fortis Reed Jones. I think that's good. I think it's smooth.
Reed.
This Fortis is really Jones. Good that we haven't even started the band. We're arguing this by this on air. We can get this out of the
you
way.
Know, fuck you guys. I quit
because this is what happens when you're trying.
We're
to
getting Chris Holmes dizzy. Holmes Reed
Holmes
Jones.
Reed
Jones. No,
it doesn't sound good.
Jones Reed Fortis. And
sounds
it'll
good.
Be like as cool as all the Tommy Bolin stuff and all that cool stuff. You're
well,
gonna get a lot of feedback on this.
We all have to sing. If your name is in the fucking
and
title,
that's okay.
We not all have to sing.
We don't. Well, we don't all have.
We have to sing. We don't all have to sing.
Got it.
It's in the future for the kids. Thank you guys for everything, for listening, for supporting rock and roll for all these years, and for supporting it now. I love you all. I'm taking off. I'm going to go take a leak and I'm going to go head to Denver.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dizzy Reed.
That's what we do. We're on a bus.
That's it.
And thank you, Danko, for
thank
having
you.
Us on
thank
your
you.
Show,
yeah,
bro.
You. And you know what? Thanks for having us on your bus and thanks for giving us Jameson. That was pretty cool. because we don't have any left on our
That's what really got me going.
Our guys, our tour manager gave it to you, and
that was nice of him.
Yeah, I'm not the best host.
You are a great host, Danko. Thank you, sir.
We're here because of you. Thank you, guys. Thank you. And I thank the rest of you.
And it's been a pleasure to do this. And you know what? I would do it again in a second.
That's right. In fact, what are you doing tomorrow?